episode 48. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? We got my dog Joey in the building.
Yes, sir.
Gonna be a lit episode. Gonna get really real in here. So before we get started, let's go ahead and get some prayer going. Dear God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to speak on your love, on your truth, on your life, God. And I just pray that we would honor you in this time. And Lord, I pray that this would be just hope, Lord, for those listening, that this would be an opportunity for them to know you more, God, and that you would reveal yourself to somebody, God, even if it's just one person that you've called to reach, God. I pray, Lord, that that person would receive the fullness of your love today, God. Lord, that you would open doors, Lord, you would knock at people's lives, Lord, at their hearts, God, and just make them know that you were there and that you were moving, and God, that you were loving them so much, God. Lord, you have made us all on purpose and for a purpose, God, and I just pray that we would step into that purpose with confidence, Lord, knowing that you are leading, knowing that the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus, is within us, and that power is going to deliver us, Lord, straight into the love and the freedom you have offered us through the blood of Jesus, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
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 All right, Joey, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, bro.
So my name is Joey. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm like about 25, 30 minutes outside of the city of Boston. Town called Billerica. Have you guys ever seen the movie The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, bro.
Dick Yeagan? So that's Lowell, Massachusetts. That's the town next to Billerica.
It's tough.
You know, I moved down here about 3 years ago. Because I was getting into all kinds of trouble up there and stuff. You know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I try to do like the geographical cure type of thing there. And I came down here and, you know, fortunately, you know, I was able to clean myself up and meet a lot of good people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm having a blessed time down here in Tampa today. It's a beautiful day out.
Yes, sir.
And I'm blessed to be on this podcast right now. I'm ready to talk and spread the word of Jesus.
Amen. Well, praise God. Yes, sir.
All right. So you got a topic in your heart? Get into it.
I do. Yeah. So I'd like to talk about, you know, the Gospels of Jesus Christ. We'll bounce around a little bit, but I want to talk about Jesus. You know, that's the topic, is Jesus Christ, you know. So we'll stay in that, and from there we'll go off onto whatever we have to do at that time.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
No, that's good. I know, too, we were talking before the podcast, and you were showing me 6 John, and we were kind of going into that a little bit. I don't know, do you want to... Because I know God had to have been, like, pushing you some way to bring it up, but kind of maybe what God was revealing to you through that.
Yeah, so let me open my Bible.
He's got the big book.
Big dog.
Yeah, I think he's legendary.
There's maps in there, too.
Dude, it's a nice, yeah. It's a nice Bible.
It's an expensive Bible. $80 for this Bible.
Dude.
Worth it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
definitely worth it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we were on 6 John. So when I woke up this morning, I was doing my readings, you know, and I was praying. I've been praying for about a week and a half ago. When did you ask me to come on in?
Yeah, like a week. You week know, and a half, week 2 weeks, half, maybe even
yeah,
2 weeks.
Like
yeah,
that. And you know, I just been praying on it. You know what I mean? Because you told me to pick a topic and stuff, and you know, I kind of just freestyle it as I go day by day because I don't even know if I'm gonna be here tomorrow. So you know what I mean? So this morning when I woke up, and I started praying on it, it led me to John 6 verse 38, and when I was saying to you that I wanted to talk about Jesus, you know, and what his mission was when he was here, because he did many different things, right? But there was one main mission, right? We've talked about it. It's this verse came up and it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day."
Dude. Tough. It's a bar. Yeah. Nah, dude, I love that. And so that's it. Like, and that's really what we want to get into, is mainly just the gospel. And we've done an episode before on gospel clarity, and I think that, dude, it's one thing that, you know, needs to be stressed, I think, for all believers. Like, because really when you go out and you talk to somebody about the Bible or you talk about Christianity, it's like you don't want to – it's a short window of opportunity, and you need to know exactly what the gospel really is, right? And, like, what it is that Jesus Christ came down. He's God, came down, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and then rose on the third day, you know, and he suffered the worst suffering, arguably, that any human has ever suffered, and he was the least deserving man to have ever received it, and he did that all because he loved, right, because really God the Father, right, loved man, which one God, three persons, right, but that God the Father just, he had to, you know, I've heard it said before that he pours out his wrath on Jesus. And the way I heard it said was like, if you think about a cup that's full of wrath, and then you just dump it upside down so that it's empty. And so it's all the wrath that he has stored up for all of us, and then he dumps it out onto Jesus' head, right? And it's a man who didn't deserve it. Yeah, bro. And I need stuff like that, because, like, I could hear someone say, you know what I mean? Like, he poured out his wrath, and in my head I'm just like, but, like, I got, when he explained that, like, little imagery of it, I was like, bro, that's such a good explanation of it. But, yeah, dude, there's a lot of different ways we can go. What are you looking for, Wally?
So I was just thinking about a lot of people recently been challenging me on the idea of Jesus, right? And there's this dude, Bryce Crawford. He's a street evangelist. You know, he's like on Instagram. He's going out to all types of places, like Gay Pride, or he'll go to like Mardi Gras, or like places like that, or just Mardi out Gras. In the streets, bro. Just go out in the streets and speak the name of Jesus, you know. And you know, obviously, he's being challenged daily, and the only way he can face those challenges in a proper way is by knowing the truth, you know, and the truth is the gospel, you know. And one thing the pastor said last week at my church, Pastor Hal Mary, he said, how can you know it's a lie if you don't know the truth, right? Because the world will try to throw these lies at us, right? They'll try to discredit Jesus. They'll try to give all glory to man, all glory to material things and objects, and use science to disprove what Jesus did, right? And they'll be like, how can God be Jesus and Jesus be the Holy Spirit? And how can God come to the earth as Jesus? You know, they have all these questions, right? And it's so important that we know this book, because like you said, it's a small window. And what we say in that moment, it's really influential. You know what I'm saying? It could really push them in the right direction, or it could be like, dude, that's... No, like, you know what I'm saying? It could really just kind of confirm the lie they're already believing. You know what I mean? And he was talking about a lady asked him, you know, why did he send Jesus to earth? And so they're saying, you know, it says God is perfection, right? So how could he say he's perfect and not prove it, you know? And Jesus was the proof of that perfection, because when he came to the earth, exactly what you said, he wasn't doing what Jesus wanted to do. He did the will of his Father, right? And God's will is perfect. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And did Jesus mess up one time? No. You know what I'm saying? Did Jesus ever fall into temptation? He was tempted, but he didn't fall to it. You know what I'm saying? He stood on the truth, the gospel, the word of God, and used that to rebuke the enemy, to rebuke those, the Pharisees, you know, the judgmental people, the people who were looking down on others because of their lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? And so it was just such a cool, like, that kind of opened my eyes, bro, because I haven't really faced a lot of people like that who are going to question my faith, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we get so caught up in being around fellow believers, being at the church so much, you know, there's not too many times where my faith has been challenged. So when he said that, I was like, dang, dude, that is so fire, because he set the bar, right? Jesus set the bar. Perfection. We're never going to reach it. So that's why we need him, you know what I'm saying? To bridge gap.
Bro, I got a good one for that. You got anything?
I'm sitting back, and I got a lot.
Yeah, I know, bro. He's cooking
Jump
up.
Jump in. Somebody hop in.
Bro, I was listening to Charles Spurgeon, and he was talking about the perfection, basically, and how a man can't reach it. And he was talking about, I've kind of talked about this before, but that, you know how you just said, like, your need for Jesus. And so it's like, Jesus walks this perfect life, overcomes all the temptations of the flesh, because he's still put into, like, quote-unquote sinful flesh, but never sins, right? And when he dies and resurrects, the gifts he gives us is the Holy Spirit. And then with that Holy Spirit, we now have a part of this perfect walk, right, that, like, lives in us, that can be a helper and be useful to us. Which is so fire. It's like, and that's a lot of Hebrews do, is like, we have a good high priest. We were talking about this on Tuesday. Like, we have a good high priest who understands the pains that we go through as humans. We were talking about Jesus in the wilderness, or
when the devil takes him to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights.
But not that one. It's the he's bleeding, sweats up blood, drops of blood on the prayer.
That was before he was crucified.
Yeah, but where was he?
He went away from the disciples. He's on a mountain. One of the mountains.
Good question.
Yeah, bro.
There's a few. There's Zion, Carmel, right. Sinai. one of those. Y'all do your homework, look that up, and let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give you something to chew on, but, right, so, like, and so I was actually listening this past Friday, and he said so in the Greek, because they'll have, like, the same word. Like, love has four words. We were talking about that last week, bro. But he said the strongest form of depression is the word that they use for that moment when Jesus is in the, when he's praying, when he's has the sweats, the sweating the blood. It was like the highest, if not despair, of like despair, depression. Mm-hmm. Like he was so, and like he even went to say, like, you can imagine that he could barely feel the nails in his hands because of the actual internal suffering that he was dealing with, that we look over, you know what I mean? Like we look at like the physical suffering, which was insane, but we'll look over like the actual, cause dude, like the worst pain I've experienced hasn't been physical. And we have a God who's literally experienced that, and that's who we talk to, bro.
So like I gotta spin off of that, but like what we're describing right now is like how the physical pain that Jesus endured for us, right? And,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's, it's so deep that we're talking about this, because that's what I was trying to talk, I wanted to talk about, is that, like, you know, all his missions and all the things that he did when he was here, you know, it was his sacrifice, you know what I mean? It was his pain that he endured for us. Dude. You know, that is the greatest gift that we can have. You know, he did all these gifts and miracles and stuff when he was here, but, you know, that pain that he suffered and went through, it was for you, right? It was for me, it was for you, it was for us, right? And when people say that, you know, they want to see, like, you know, they want to vision Jesus being healthy and doing all these works and stuff like that, you know, the deepest connections that I've ever had with my higher power, God, is through thinking of Jesus's sacrifice in the crucifix, right? You know, that's, and that's fire. Why a lot of people, like, you know, they like say, like, you know, not to wear the cross and wear Jesus on the crucifixion and all this stuff. But it's like when I, every time I see that, it's a real good, you know, remember when, you know, remember what he did for me, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then I have plenty of times, I don't think about it all the time like that. I have plenty of times where I think about how, you know, I was telling Chris, I was like, people think of Jesus all scrawny and looking all like this. Yo, for me, Jesus is jacked.
My favorite, bro.
Grab my phone up there real quick.
Bro, yeah, he's, bro. I mean, he had to carry that cross, so he got to be a strong.
Yo, do you see what I'm saying, bro? Yeah. Like, you know, but then, you know, it's like almost like
yes, bro.
Oh, that's fire, bro.
So like to slay these demons and to fight these things, man, you can't be a scrawny, weak man.
Yeah.
You know? And so I like to picture him like that, right? But, you know, then at the same time, it's like he's like, okay, I did this, I came, you know, I spread the word, you know, and now he knew that the word would be spread after he was gone, right? And then when he does that, his mission was to be the sacrificial lamb of Adam, right? You know?
Fire.
So it's like, I think I was telling Chris last week, it's like, would you go into a room that I was like, go into this house right here?
Oh, dude,
and you
know
there's all, like, you know, gangsters in there, right? And they're gonna straight murder you, right? But you gotta go in there and spread the word of Jesus, and you know you're not coming out alive, right? Would you do it?
That's a good, because it's a good depiction, bro.
Yeah.
Because it's literally Jesus came here knowing he's gonna die.
Yeah.
But out of love, like, still came here and went through.
When he sat at the Last Supper, what did he say? He said, one of you at this table is going to betray me.
Yeah.
You know?
Knowing.
He could have offed Judas, and Judas would have never been able to tell on him, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing we went into is, like, because there's a worship song I listened to, and it's like, he had, like, a whole legion of angels that he could have called on and just been like, done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are evil, and you're all going to hell. I think a pretty considerable degree that would have still been just because we were evil. And the only reason we're justified now in the eyes of God is because he went through with it and he got our penalty, which is just crazy. What do you got?
When you said that thing about the going into the house, right, it made me think of Romans 14, verse 8. It says, if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. And, you know, when we read that verse a couple weeks ago at Bible study, I was just thinking about that very question, you know, because a lot of times on, like, Sunday, right, you hear a fire sermon, like a fire message, and the pastor has you pumped up, and he's like, we want to send you out to the people. Like, who's going to go to the places like that?
Yeah,
the
don't
place
all, where you're don't all raise your hand yeah. up at once.
No one. Everybody. Yeah. When you're fired up and you're feeling that Holy Spirit, you're like, put me on a helicopter, drop me off in that island. I want to die for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But then Monday comes. Do you want to live for the Lord?
I'll be honest with you, bro. Like, that's the thing is, and that's, you know, throughout my faith and my walk, right? I've had ups and downs, right? You know, and like I was telling you guys earlier, like, you know, the places that I've been and I've seen, right? And, you know, it's like, you know, at times you feel like, you know, I should be spreading the word in a place like this, right? Yeah. But then you sit back and you're like, well, if I do that, I'm going to be made fun of or possibly hurt. You know,
fear of man, bro. I get that.
Bro, that's what we're fighting right now, yeah. bro.
And I, you know what's crazy is like I've met people, like I've spread the word, you know, but not to an extent. I've met dudes that I was like, no one's going to mess with this dude, like, and this dude's going to put that out there. I've seen it and witnessed it, you know, and that's the works of God, that there are people. That's why I try to say to you, like, I don't picture him as a skinny, weak man. I picture him as a strong man because, like, I've seen the works of God in other people. Yeah. And I'm like, thank God for people like that because, you know, so.
That's real.
I just want to bring some clarity on what we were talking about earlier when he was sweating blood. So that was in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yosemite
National Park. He was with Yogi Bear.
Just spell it
G-E-T-H-S-E-M-A-N-E. So Gethsemane. That's in Luke 22:44. And you know what I was thinking about too? Like at that point, he hadn't even taken on the sin yet, you know? So the sin was so disgusting to him before he even had experienced it. He was sweating blood. And this website says it's called hematidrosis. It's a rare but very real medical condition that causes one sweat to contain blood. The sweat glands are surrounded by tiny blood vessels that can constrict them and then dilate to the point of rupture, causing blood to effuse into sweat glands. The cause of hematidrosis is extreme anguish. In other gospel accounts, we see the level of Jesus' anguish. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And that's in Matthew 26:33 and Mark 14:34. So that's how intense the idea of sin was to Jesus.
Talk about it.
A man of perfection, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's our goal. That's why I've been praying just, for example, over Chris. Like, in my time where I pray for Chris, like, pretty much every day, I just want sin to be so disgusting for him. You know what I'm saying? Because until that's the case, we're going to continue to fall into those same, not even fall, dude. We're going to jump headfirst into that sin.
It's crazy that you just brought that up. Me and Chris were talking about this with Paul, how Paul says, I can't, you know, refer to the verse, but Paul says, you know, I do what I know that I shouldn't do, Romans but I do what any. Okay, there you Romans go. Good. Seven, mm-hmm. You've been studying. I used to be able to spit verses like that, but then I, you know, like it's powerful too. Like if you're reading and you're studying, it's like it's a blessing. That's God blesses you with the things to say. You'll spit a verse. I would be like, yeah. I'd be like, verse, blah, 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 book, blah, blah, verse, blah, blah, blah. And I never even read that.
Bro, but it's a gift. It's a gift. You wouldn't think about it until someone brings it up, and then you can remember exactly.
It's crazy.
Romans 7 says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do.
Correct.
It's insane.
Now, it's perfect to say. It's like, now, see, that's like a thing that I struggle with for a long time is like, I was like, okay, I see these people that go to church, and like they live these like, perfect lives, right? Like say perfect from what I was living, it was near perfect, right? Yeah. And then I start living the life myself and I start seeing that like it's not about that, right? Mm-mm. It's about knowing I'm already a sinner off the bat. Like I've already taken the L, right?
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus got the W for me, right? Yeah. He won it for me, right? I don't need to worry about that. And then it can get further into like, you know, thinking about like, you know, you make a mistake and then it's hot if you dwell on it. On that, falling into
that's the real
sin is what comes after the sin, right?
That was good. Dude, that was a bar.
Do you let it take you hostage, you know? Or do you truly embrace the freedom that Jesus offered on that cross?
Amen. And we've talked about it. It's been coming up like so consistently now, but like it says that, you know, what brings about repentance is the kindness of God. And so it's like, rather than the like wrath of God or fear of God, it's his kindness where you sit back and you're
it's his grace, right?
The yeah, grace. Yeah. And where you sit back and you're like, he's so good and so kind to me. I don't want to do these things because he asked me not to do these things. And he's been so gracious, so merciful, so kind to me. Like, one of my big things, like, coming in to the faith that I struggle with was, like, I was like, dude, these pastors, like, all of them, they always are talking about grace and mercy and love. Like, what about the other attributes? Because in the Old Testament, you know what I mean? You see God does have a wrath. God does have, right, he does have a judgment, right, a pure, holy, righteous judgment. And I was like, we never talk about that stuff. And I think it really is because, like, it's the grace that saves. You know what I mean? It's like they're trying to get across that point that, like, you need, like, what you need is the grace, right? Like, the farthest, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, it's perfect what you're saying because, like, what better love for, like, how much, like, what's the most potent way of showing love, right? And they say, like, honesty or forgiveness, that, the other thing. It's to be able to give your own life for someone else.
That's it, bro. That's the scripture. Let's go. Yeah, dude. Literally. And, not, bro, and, like, that's the thing that you were talking about was, you know, he didn't. That a good person will rarely give their life for.
Oh, Romans 10.
I think. Did you say that on the podcast?
We might have.
Yeah, I think.
I've heard it recently. So.
Yeah. Rarely a person will give their life for righteous man, but many will give their life for a good man.
You said.
And the difference, righteous. The only way to be righteous is to walk in truth.
Yep.
You know, so the truth. I'm gonna hurt your feelings out of love.
Yeah.
When you're living wrong, when you're doing stuff that. We both know you shouldn't be doing, and I call you out on it, not because I'm better than you or I'm judging you, but because I want to see you grow.
That's right.
And I want to see you get away from that sin because of your love for the Lord. That's righteousness. But what a good man would do would say, hey, Joey, you're doing all right.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. You're doing really good. You know what I'm saying?
And is that really a good man, though?
Yeah, no, right? Not at all. But no one's good, not even one.
Amen.
That's another thing Paul says. Not even one man is good. Not one. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So that's what I'm saying. Jesus set such a, like, he didn't just talk about it. He walked it out. God walked it out in the form of Jesus coming and facing all the things we face on a daily basis, right? Because he's God, right? Jesus is God, but he was man, 100% man, 100% God, which is a tough thing to wrap your head around, but that's the thing. That's where the faith comes in. We're not called to wrap our head around the Bible and understand everything fully because it says in Revelation, the great mystery will be revealed to us on the day of judgment.
Rarely will a man, what did you say it was?
I think it's Romans 10.
No, you keep talking. I got to look for it now.
Well, I don't know. I was
going to say, it's crazy. It's crazy how you were just saying that because it's like, you know, now I forget what I was going to say.
What were you talking about?
Dude. Oh, the being revealed, the mystery be revealed.
There you go.
That's
okay. So let me say something real quick. So I was thinking of that today. It's crazy. It's like, so like Jesus, like, it's crazy. Like, so like, you're here on earth and you're given life, right? It's suffering, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's like crazy to think, it sounds twisted and sick, right? But to understand that like dying is our freedom, mm-hmm. right? Because they say it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a Christian, it's about the destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like my destination is heaven to be with, you know, mm-hmm. and to praise God for eternity, right?
Yeah.
That's real. No, that's real.
So my freedom will be, you know, because the struggle is real, man. You know
it's real, 1,000%. But it's so worth it, dude, because it's like you could get so caught up in this life and this struggle because dying would be so easy, bro.
It's only worth it if you understand it, right?
Yeah.
Because when you don't understand it, then you're just lost, bro.
Bro, literally, shout out Hal Mayer. He snapped last week. He said, when did heaven not become enough? You know what I mean? We get so caught in ourselves, and we get caught in our current situation, circumstance. Our faith is so based on how our life is looking, and for some reason, we base God on our current status, right? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, dude, can't you look past yourself? And I'm talking to myself, bro. I'm not casting judgment on nobody because this is something I'm struggling with. Can't I look past me and look to him and see what he's doing? He's doing something inwardly. Every time I'm struggling, he's showing me something that hasn't been addressed so that there can be growth from it and we can move on. You know what I'm saying?
Growth comes through pain, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the only way. Fire. It's the pure, what is it? Pure purification. Tired by fire.
Yeah. I was fire, bro. I listened to your podcast. That's fire about the purification of gold or whatever, whatever the metal you guys are talking about. That was fire.
Dude, that is.
Dude, we're being tried by fire on a daily basis.
Daily.
Yeah. And we're called to rejoice in it.
Bro.
Yeah.
Be happy.
And
look,
John Piper, John Piper said, the opposite of joy is not suffering, it's despair in the suffering. Feel me?
Yeah.
Shout out JP.
Rejoice in the suffering.
That's big stuff, bro. That's
the
big.
So that what the verse says is, but so for it's Romans 5:7. I rebuke you, Wally. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mm. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And so, it's like to the point that I really wanted to make with that was we were talking about how the, what were we talking about? Dang it, bro, I lost it.
The topic, like Jesus' mission?
No, we're sinners. Dang it, bro, I can't even remember.
Oh, we do. We know we
should. That's where we started with it, and we started talking about, dude, I need to sleep more. This is rough.
You're a sleepy guy.
Yeah,
Let it flow.
Okay, so basically, I don't know. I was, because so, dude, Spurgeon, fire, dude. But he was going into, like, all of this stuff about the goodness of Jesus and then really trying to portray the evil of man. Mm. And, like, just that one verse right there just shows how good God is, right? And I was, I was talking about it with somebody, and it was, like, it's how it says, like, even though yet I was still a sinner, like, he still went, even though I was still sinning. It wasn't, like, because, you know, I feel like a lot of people feel like they gotta, you know, we've said it before, like, you don't take a shower before you get in the shower, right? It's, like, I wasn't cleaned up coming into Christ, right? Like, I was deep in sin. And yet he still saves me, right? Like, he still comes to me and he still gives me the Holy Spirit. And it's all because of the wrath that was poured out onto his son. And that's what I wanted to say, right? Is like how you were saying the guilt of holding on to the sin. So my own, the sin after the sin that I used to have was the pride of I should have done better rather than it's what Christ did for me. It's like what I'm going to do for myself. Mm. So I become like this works-based, like, oh, like, I'm condemned to hell now and, like, all of this stuff, rather than it was Jesus Christ who saved me. It was him who, by grace, revealed himself to me and who continues to reveal himself to me and who continues to bless me abundantly. You know, it's not, you know, that Chris has done anything special or extraordinary. It's mainly just that, you know, God sent his son. The only reason I even have an opportunity to even do good works is because his son died on the cross. Because without that, I'm screwed, right? Like, I'm getting the wrath, right? Like, I have to have the wrath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
I was just going to say real quick. All right, yeah, no, I'd bounce onto that, but I was going to say that you just perfectly explained when I say the topic was what was the mission of Jesus Christ, because, you know, we could say all these different things, but that is the mission. His blood, Jesus' blood was the mission, his bloodshed, right?
Yeah.
You know?
And that blood washes as clean as snow.
It's crazy.
The blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Wow, God bless.
God is good. No, but I was just thinking, so while we're on the topic of repentance, remember I texted you, I think it was this week. It was, because I read Nehemiah. So just a little back context. So in the book of Nehemiah, this is Old Testament. So this is after the exile of the Israelites when they had to go to Babylon, right? So they're coming back to rebuild Jerusalem. And it's being led by Nehemiah, and Ezra's the teacher at that time. He's the one that knows that word. He's holding on to those commandments, the law of Moses. And so after they finish the wall, like, God just touches their heart in such a special way.
That's Nehemiah?
Yeah.
Bro, we're reading that in our leadership book.
Really?
That's the name was so familiar, bro. And I was like, where have I heard that?
Yeah.
They did that. Yeah, bro. Go ahead. My bad.
Bro, but so after they finished rebuilding the wall, their hearts were touched by the Lord himself, you know what I'm saying? Because they saw the completion of his work being done, you know? This was just getting, the way they're building that wall, they're building brick by brick to Jesus. You know, he'll be here soon, you know what I'm saying? And so it was talking about how after they come together, right, and all the leaders, Nehemiah, Ezra, the Levites, the priests, everybody, they get together and everyone, they fasted and they prayed. And not just a prayer of thanks, but a prayer of repentance. And repentance of not only their wrongdoings, because you know the history with the Israelites is they constantly, they're self-reliant, they're idolizing man, they're idolizing objects, you know what I'm saying? They're turning from God and relying on self.
Yeah.
And so they come into a place of repentance, not only for them, but for their whole ancestral line all the way back. All the way back to like Abraham, dude. And in it, on Enduring Word, it was just saying it should not seem strange that after such great victories in both the physical restoration of the wall and the spiritual restoration of the people, there was such humble repentance. This shows that repentance isn't something we finish after coming to Jesus. It is something that grows as we grow closer to Jesus. And then it goes into a quote from Spurgeon. It says, repentance grows as faith grows, right?
Yeah.
Do not make any mistake about it. Repentance is not a thing of days and weeks, a temporary penance to be got over as fast as possible. No, it is the grace of a lifetime, like faith itself. Repentance is the inseparable companion of faith. It is. So as our faith grows, alongside it should our repentance, right? Because the more faithful we are, the more we're growing, we're being molded. It's that process of sanctification like we were talking about. And that should make us aware of where we're wrong, and it should hurt us to where it brings us to repentance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I totally agree. And then it's like, you know, being a sinner, right? And being, let's be real, right? Let's get real about it. I love getting real. But like, it's like what we're talking about, the purification or sanctification, what you said, it's like, what do I do? You know, maturity is obviously, you know, an age, but what do I do when I fall back, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then I become filled more with more and more sin. Like sometimes, like I'm a sinner. Sometimes I'll sin, you know, and I won't repent, right? You know, and then I'll sin again and I won't repent and it gets worse. But then all of a sudden, like, you know, I'll get this spiritual awakening, right? And I'll start repenting and then I'll remember things that I did weeks ago or whatever, or years ago even, right?
That's real, yeah. Mm-hmm. God brings the repentance type thing.
It's crazy. It's on his time, right? It's
Yeah.
Dude, hold on. I got something. Go ahead.
Are you going to stick to repentance?
No, I just got something. Hold on. I got to find it.
Cause you can go, Chris. Go for it. All right. Because I'm about to switch the topic, so if you're going to stay there, then I'd rather wait. Going back to the main point. All right. I'm just going to go for it.
Go for it.
So back to the... Right, like we're talking about Jesus' mission and everything. And this is like, so basically we're, you know, all of the miracles that Jesus did is in all the Gospels. So it's a part of the Gospels. It is the good news. But like the main thing that happens, right, is the forgiveness of sins. And that happens through a process of death and resurrection. And like, to me, the Bible is the word, like that is divinely written, the word of God. Like this is all truth. And 100%, like, and I just say that because I want whoever's listening to put themselves, like, this is literally real people. So I'm going to read the story of Jesus and Thomas. And so Thomas was a real man, and Jesus is God who is resurrected. And this is a real conversation. They're really, like, picture them in a building, you know, with each other, and that Jesus died, and they all know he's dead. They were in pain, right? Like, they loved Jesus. Like, this is a friend of theirs. They spent 3 years of their life with this man, and they know for a fact that he has died, right? And so Jesus, at this point in the story, so this is John chapter 20, verse 24, and at this point he's resurrected, and he came to the disciples, Mary Magdalene, and they come to Thomas, and they're like, hey, Thomas, Jesus resurrected. Thomas is like, nah, dude, like he can't resurrect, right? Because that's one thing, is that it took a lot of time for the apostles, not disciples, apostles, right, to come into this belief. That's one thing you got to realize, is like Jesus continues to say he is God, right? He's gonna resurrect, and every time they're like, what do you mean, bro? Like, that's crazy, you know? And this is like the revealing part, I feel like, where it's like the apostles are like, oh, like he's God, you know? Like, he's been saying it for 3 years
subliminals
yeah, but like low-key, right? Like, not really saying it, like coded. And then that's why it's like easy for me to read this, because I know ahead of time. Right. So like ahead of time, like already knowing all the information, it's like easier. But like, so this is that moment for Thomas when, just imagine like somebody that you know for a fact is dead. Right. And here he is resurrected. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." So here's a man of no belief, which is crazy, right? And Jesus isn't even here at this point. So Jesus must have heard it all, knew it all, right? Because listen to what happens. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. So they're back in the house. And Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked, so no way someone can get inside. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Praise the Lord. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." So here's this moment, right, this revelation. "My Lord and my God." This is God. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Praise the Lord, dude.
Amen.
And like, so the reason, the importance of this book, right, the reason for these gospels, the reasons they match up to each other, right, is because I wasn't there with Thomas and Jesus, right? But right now I am. While I read this, I'm there with them right now. Like imagining my God resurrecting from the dead, still with the holes in him, right? Like still with the holes in his body, right? Coming up from the dead and then being there with his apostles, like forever. He's still alive. He's still alive right now. Like right now I'm talking about a being so higher than me that is still living right now as I speak about him. It's not that he's far or anything like that, right? He's still with me right here, right now. And that's the beautiful gift that I have, is that, you know, God still lives to this day forever and ever and ever. And he always has lived from, you know, there was no beginning, because he just was always the great I am, right? And that's Jesus. Jesus is the great I am. He's not separate. Like, I always used to put that in my head, like, Father God is a little different. And dude's cooking back there. We got someone cooking in the studio.
This is why I said, let's just freestyle
it. cooking the fish.
Crazy over here.
Yeah. But, dude, that stank, boy. That is nuts. You got to wake up. You got to come to work to that, bro. Mm. Oh, brother. But I always used to think of, like, Jesus being different from God the Father. But he's not. The triune God was dwelling in infinite realm. Like, always, no one created him. And Jesus was a part of that. And he humbled himself to such a huge degree to put himself in the physical world, right? Where he's limited, but not really. But, you know, to some degree limited, right? But it's all out of humility, out of love, to come and save us. And, dude, that is God. That's our God. That's the God that I worship, is Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, just the fact that he would do something like that for a sinner like me.
Read that last part again, of that what you read, that believe the seeing.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe.
Right.
So he shows himself to, like, there's a tons of accounts that aren't even in this book.
Yeah.
And he showed himself to a bunch of people and, like, praise God that they believe. A lot different to some degree. Right, but they believed because they knew that Jesus was dead. That was like the talk of the town, right? Like Jesus made a pretty big riff throughout, you know, Israel, and you know, and oh, he's walking around now. You know what I mean? And actually, right then, it's the lie. It says it in the Bible. The lie that the Jews still portray and believe is that, what is it? It's in the Bible, dude. I don't want to misquote it, so I'm not going to say it. But there is a lie that the guards started to spread a lie that it was. It wasn't even that he was still...
Just Google it.
Yeah, I probably could.
You look it up.
Well, while you're doing that, stay on that. I just want to jump back to what you
Let's
were
go.
Saying. Remember how you... It wasn't that long ago. You probably remember it. But you were just saying, like, when you get in that sin and it keeps going, right? And it's like, you're kind of like... It's like a secret, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're like hiding it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And those secret sins will always be brought to light. And I thought of that, and it took me straight to Ephesians 5, let me find it. Verse 13, it says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Right? So because we fall in that cycle, right? We fall in that cycle of maybe we'll get into sin, and we're so afraid, or we're so just caught up or shameful or full of guilt that we want to keep it. And we create these secret sins that are within us, right? But what is God trying to do? He's trying to bring light to it, You know what I mean? And we are called to be the lights of the world. So it's like, even in that sin, that doesn't make you not a light. You're not, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't dim your light. You're still just as lit. But what he wants to do is for you to wake up, to get out of yourself, you know what I'm saying? And to use that as power, you know, because even though you're stuck in that sin and you're in that place, that dark place that you can't seem to get out of, dude, that is just literally embodying the love of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because he's showing how much he loves you, that even though you're still in this sin, you're still so caught up in yourself, he's still just trying to wake you up, bro. He's trying to get you out of that, bring it to light. You know what I mean?
Amen, bro. That's perfect. And I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I was saying to you, you know, working the program, in there it says, in the promises, it says, no matter how far down the scale you have gone, you know, you will start to see that your experience can benefit others.
Yeah.
And kind of that's what I've done in my journey so far, right? And it's worked out pretty good. It's like, so I was watching this TikTok. I was going on a TikTok rabbit hole one day, and there was this lady.
Easy, bro. It's crazy. Easy to fall.
It's crazy. Yeah. And there was this lady, and she had a glass of water, right? And she took like a handful of dirt and put it in the water, right? And was explaining, like, you know, I could sit here for the rest of my life and try to pick out this dirt by piece, right? And we'll never be clean water again. Like, let's get rid of it, right? But then she said, but if I take a gallon of clean water, and she started pouring it into the cup of dirty water. Ooh. And filling it with clean water, and what it did was it overflowed with the dirt. It threw the dirt out, and now it was a pure glass of water again, right? So this is just for me, in my opinion, my experience, the only way I can get out of that darkness and that hole is by trying to do good works, right? And use that hole that I've been in to benefit others. And this can go down a whole another like street is, through all of this, you know, I think that I see myself best in the faces of my brothers.
Yeah.
So when I see my brother struggling is when I can see myself struggling, mainly because I'm like, damn, like he's going through this right now. So that's, and this goes back to what Wally was saying at the beginning, like, you know, like, how do I approach this person and explain to them about, you know, what they're doing wrong in this, or, you know, I don't want to be like too tight, but then I don't want to be too much, right?
Yeah.
But it's all on your works, right? It's all on my works, right?
Yeah.
Because like, I can't come to you and be like, hey, Chris, you shouldn't do that, bro. And then turn around and go do it myself, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's real.
Bro, that's so fire though that you said that, because there's so many things I want to say with that. Chris always said, like, I know in the midst of my struggles, like, Chris would always be like, you're my brother and I'm called to, like, mourn with you, to be sad with you when you're hurting, you know what I'm saying, but to celebrate with you when you're up, you know what I mean? And that's the power of when we're gathered in Jesus' name, you know what I mean? We can uplift each other, and you're just not alone. You know what I'm saying?
Because sometimes try to pull each other out of the darkness.
When you get so deep in that, bro, like, you are 1,000% convinced you're fully alone. And that is not at all the truth. And sometimes it takes.
And that's the lie of the enemy. That's the lie of the enemy.
That is the devil, right?
It takes the brother to come in and give you a hand.
Amen.
And remind you you're not alone. And then because of his, you know what I'm saying, the physical, like, Chris, you know what I'm saying, coming in and trying to pull me out, it's like it exemplifies the love of Jesus and how he's pulling me out. You know what I'm saying?
It's a mirror, right?
Dude, and how you're saying, like, the best way you can see yourself is through his struggles, right? Bro, last week he was saying, you know, it was like, a lot of times we'll see someone else's sin and we're quick to point the finger, right? We're quick to be like, oh, how could they?
I'm good at that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But what we should do is say, how can I not do that? How can I not become that? How can I set up, like, how can I dive deeper into God so that we don't get to that point? You know what I'm saying? It's just continually showing us how much is not about us.
You know what's crazy is how you say that. Like, they say all the time, it's like, when you do that, how quick you are to point the finger, and this has helped me out a lot too, is every single time I do that, I need to think, it's something that I don't like about myself, man.
Yeah,
and that's crazy, because if you're doing something that I could care less about, I'm not going to really judge you. But if you're doing something that, like, I can't stand, it's something inside me, because it shouldn't bother me that much, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. 1,000%, bro. That's fire.
Yeah. So I found it. It's cool, bro. We're jumping back and forth on these. But so this is the report of the guard after Jesus leaves the tomb. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. And when they had assembled and with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. And then he leaves with the Great Commission, which is fire. But so basically that's, you know, a lot of Jews to this day, which a Jew can be a Christian, actually, because a Jew is technically a race and they can believe Jesus Christ is God and all of that stuff. So
it's like Messianic Jews or something.
Yeah, there's a name. There's a specific name for it, which is really, that actually says in scripture that like to bring a Jew into the faith is like almost seen as like, I don't even know how you would describe it, but it's like a big deal for God to like, so like I always be looking out for them Jews, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We were just talking about that before we came in. I was saying to Chris, like, you know, like it's good for me to, you know, if I, like I was just saying about going in to spread the word in that house and what a bunch of gangsters that are going to murder you, right? It's like, you know, like if I could turn one of those gangsters that were going to murder me because I believe in Jesus Christ, I rebuke myself if this is wrong, but it's more important to be able to do that than to turn someone who is almost a believer, right?
Yeah. Because you know? it is a big deal. I mean, I don't know, bro. And I think that's like one thing we've been talking about is perseverance, like through helping somebody who's just against it, struggling, you know what I mean? Because it's like they might fight it, dude, for like literally, bro. Charlie is this guy I go to on his Bible study. He's 82 years old and he tells us about a guy that he's been talking to for 50 years who still doesn't believe, that he still calls to this. He's like 70 years old, this guy, that he still calls to this day in hopes that he'll give his life over to Jesus Christ. And I heard it and I was like, bro, that's perseverance. 50 years, bro. I haven't even, can't even imagine. I've been alive for 22, bro. Mm. So for more than double my life, he has been just trying to evangelize somebody and hasn't given up, bro. Still calls him like, hey, how you doing? Like all of this stuff. And he told us, he's like, the guy's even said like, that is one thing that has shocked him is the fact that he has never given up. Cause like you know what I mean. I can only imagine the guy's probably like so pissed off about it. You know what I mean?
Stop calling me.
Yeah,
it's been I'll never stop
years.
Calling you.
Yeah.
Imagine the glory though, the glorification process bro. After turning someone like that,
dude. Bro, legendary.
Just imagine the just overflow of love that dude's gonna feel the day that, cause God's gonna in God's good and perfect will. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna take that man and he's gonna soften his heart. He's going to reveal himself to that man. And imagine how loved he's going to feel by Charlie.
I'm just going to be nuts, bro.
Bro, he's literally like, dude, this is going to be like just.
Yeah, but like that's bro. What we're called to. Last thing. We got a little bit of time here. But like last thing I wanted to say. So like I was talking all about God humbling himself, putting himself into the human body. Right. Like he's God. He's infinite. He's always going to be here. And that he went from like. Just, I can only imagine how perfect that must be, like, all the time. You're just with the Trinity, you know what I mean? Just, I can't imagine, that must be lit, and then you decide to go and suffer in a body, right? Like, you know, to really, God decided, I'm gonna go experience that to save these people, and we were doing this thing, bro, and, like, it was the first time that I got the full reality of, like, how small I am, and how big God is, and it's talking about he's the shepherd and we are his sheep. And something the pastor was doing was explaining, because he went to Africa. It was funny, dude, because they're like they told him he had to like go do a message on shepherding in Africa. And he said he went in there and he's like, raise your hand if you've ever shepherded in real life. Because he was talking to these people and like they kept telling him like that they're literally shepherds. He's like, bro, it was like 99% of the room raised their hand. Like they're all shepherds. He's like, bro, I was like, I had no idea how to, he had to do that. And then like discipling. And like, he's like, he was talking to him like these people are like fighting in like, you know, fighting like the government and like being persecuted. They've been like 5 years in prison. He's like, how, what am I going to tell these people? You know what I mean? But he was telling me, he was like, so he asked him like to start, he was like, so what is it that a good shepherd does? Right. And then I wish I had my notebook in the car and cause I wrote it all down, but he's like, you know, a good shepherd, knows all of his sheep. Like literally a shepherd knows his sheep literally like
Amen.
in real life. And to the point where like, they're always petting him and like, he'll know like, this is sheep Joey. Like they name him. and like this is sheep whoever, and that's how they actually follow him, because he's, and he loves them, like, and he's tender with them, and he, to keep them close. So he knows all of the sheep, and he said that, so this is really the big one to come to the, back to the crucifixion, the main thing that we're like talking about here, is he says that a shepherd will die for his sheep. And literally when he said it, bro, I raised my hand, I was like, bro, you know, in theory, like for people, you know, by the grace of God, if he moved my heart in that direction, I would die for a brother, you know what I mean? If it meant, you know, that for my brother, right? Like for my Christian brother, you know what I mean?
Amen.
And, but like in the image of, he was like a lion, because lions come, and the lion in the Bible is Satan. And he says that you will die for the sheep. Right. And he's like, so if lions or predators or wolves come, like this dude, I'm like, bro, if a lion and some sheep are like, I just got these sheep, bro. Goodbye, sheep, bro. Like, y'all are dead. And he said that the sheep are like the stupidest. They're the slowest animal. They you know, they can't run fast. They're the most like likely to get attacked by a predator.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. The most vulnerable animal. And he's like, and that's literally what we are. Like, to God, bro, we're in that picture, bro. We're the sheep, and he's the human.
It talks about it being like the devil is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, bro, that's fire. And so, like, I thought about it like that, and I was like, literally, my God, like, because I'm literally a sheep to God in all of his wisdom and power and glory. Like, I'm literally maybe even lower than a sheep compared to a human, you know what I mean? But that he still, like, gave his life for me to, you know what I mean? As a little sheep, bro, as like a nobody, as a nothing, like no purpose. Cause like for me, bro, I'm like, oh, like a lion's coming. My life is way more important than this little sheep.
It's crazy how you say that. It's like we are sheep, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we get deep and we talk about this. You're also a soldier, bro. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like you
like
gotta
the soldier.
Yeah, you gotta pick a side, right? Pick a side. In it literally in the Bible it says it's a war, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be a soldier fighting for Christ's army than just be a sheep out there running around not knowing what's going on.
But it's literally though, because we are being led. Like, he's leading us, and he's chasing down the one who gets lost. He's like, hey, come back to the flock. Like, you know what I mean? Because he literally knows us. And it's like, how would you even tell the difference between a bunch of sheep? You know what I mean? Like, they're all just the same, like, stupid little things walking around. And he's literally out there with the staff, just like kind of leading us around, you know what I mean? Being the good shepherd. And it was like, and like, even that's what he told us. He's like, and he told us the love, just like he really emphasized, because he's like telling us, like, he, you know, Jesus is our shepherd, but like he's like, he compared himself to like the little baby shepherd in like the process, you know, that Jesus is leading. And he's like, you guys are like super duper little baby co-shepherds. Like,
you gotta go to 1 Corinthians 13:13, when you just said about the love, right? It says these three remain: faith, hope, and love, and the most important of all is love.
That's fire, bro. Dude, it talks a lot about love, bro. It's important.
Bro, so I started Job this week, bro. I'm so excited. I love it so much.
Good story.
Yeah.
Bro, in Job chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, it says, at the breath of God they perish. At the blast of his anger they are no more. The lions may roar and growl, yet the teeth of the great lions are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. And I just wrote down here, when our faith is in God, we are not prey, because there is no lion. God has already won that battle. God, the whole idea of him being, it never says the devil is a lion or the devil is this or that. It's always he's like, you know what I'm saying? So when we give him the power of a lion, he can be a lion in our life.
It's what you, it's how you.
But when we give the power to God, dude, the battle has been won. Like you said, one breath.
Amen.
Jesus defeats the devil. One breath. God could literally just blow on him and he's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and even to, like, that point, because, like, they'll talk a lot about God's sovereignty, is, like, the only reason Job could even, like, the only reason Satan could even do anything to Job was because God was in complete control. He had to ask God
for permission.
He was
letting him test him, kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, he had to ask God for permission before he could even go about it, because, you know, and God knew what his will was the whole time, so God knew, like, he's not going to let him.
It's the purification
process. Yeah, the fire, yeah,
bro,
yeah.
And if you read Job, like, just in the beginning, like, in 1 and 2, like, God speaks so highly of Job. Why? Because of his faith, you know? He's fully reliant on God. So the God within Job is what God is so proud of, you know what I'm saying? And it was just, like, I was really thinking, I was like, Job's power, the power Job has is not in Job himself. He's just a man. He's just a sheep. You know what I'm saying? The power is the God within him. God is confident in himself being able to defeat the enemy, not Job. Job can't defeat the enemy. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part we miss. Sometimes we think we got to be strong and courageous. We cannot be afraid. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I literally, bro, that's literally, bro. So we have to, I told you this on Tuesday. For, like, my leadership thing, bro, I have to, like, write a paper, like, every week. And, like, that was the leadership quality of Paul that we were going through was courage. And in the book, John MacArthur was, like, highlighting, like, slightly but not enough for me personally, bro, which I love John MacArthur. I think he's got good sermons and stuff. So, but, like, personally for me, I was, like, because it was talking about Paul's so courageous, right? But I'm, like, bro, I'd be courageous if I were Paul, too, because an angel from heaven comes down onto a boat and he's like, hey, you guys are all going to be fine. You're going to lose the boat and all of the cargo, but every man on the ship is going to be okay. And then it was like Job was courageous because of that. And I'm like, bro, Job was courageous because God was God, because he knows, I'll give it to Job that he knows God, right? But like if an angel comes down from heaven, I know God, and God's like, hey, Chris, like this is what's going to happen. I know that God controls the weather, right? Because they were in the middle of a big storm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I ended up writing the essay was, like, he was only so confident and so courageous and not fearful, like, overcoming the fear because he knew God had full control over the whole situation. He controls the rain. He controls the waves.
But his true fear was in God.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fire. Yeah, bro. And that's fear it, God. Dude. Yeah. So I was like, I really like that you said that, bro.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is like finding your faith in Christ and in God is like, that's where you're always going to be. That's where you get your leadership. Like, yeah. That's what I'm seeing in this book is like, dude, Paul is a leader because of God. Paul's not a leader because of Paul. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Full reliance, bro.
Yeah. Right. He chose Paul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Bro. He's killing Christians, dude. Bro. He's the opposite of a leader to start.
That's so fire. Cause you know what I wrote? I said, God's confidence was in himself. We're just vessels. You know what I'm saying? God's not like, Chris, you got it.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, the peace of God that's in you, that's got it. You know what I'm saying?
Total control.
The battle was never Chris's to be fought.
Total control. Total.
It was always God's battle.
Bro, I love it. Giving all the glory to God right now. It's beautiful. All glory to God, bro.
It has to be. Like, I like cringe inside when I hear people say, like, it's, you know, it's like I'm working alongside God or I'm doing that. Bro, like you have no idea.
Bro.
Like, if that's what you think, like, and that's cool. If you think, and if things are good for you, that's great. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you study the Bible, you see
it's you're going to be humbled really
yeah,
quick.
It's not you at all. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you were just talking about Job. Like, Job, like, look at all the stuff. He kept faithful and still bad things kept happening.
Yeah.
So it's like now, boom, boom. But then finally, right? Then questions. it's like the sun comes up on the dawn on the night, right? And there's always something. The sun came up and he says, wow, like, so his faith worked out. But then, because if it was Job, he would have taken outs and had ways to, like, you know, work with God. He couldn't work with God. He had to wait for God to say everything will be okay.
Yeah. It's tough. God's timing, bro.
It's God's timing.
Bro, we gotta.
What time? How much? What
were
we at?
57. Bro, we were talking. He was like, in Philly was like, how long are the podcasts? He said, like, 3 hours, bro. I'm going to be, like, 90 years old before I finish this episode.
I'm going to get out of here to bed, bro. Like, yeah, dude. I'm going to need Wally to line me up, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freshen me up real quick.
Need a line before we get out of here.
Bro, no, but I was just dwelling on, bro, just how loved we are, dude.
Yo, man. Yeah.
Like.
Sent his son for all, a little
that's
Chris.
That's all worth it, bro. Yeah. That makes it all worth it, how loved we are.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we get away from that, and that's why I love that you chose this topic, bro, because it really puts us back in that heart posture of how loved we are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
like,
we
so loved, bro. Undescribable.
Yeah.
Definition of love.
Yeah.
It's just right here. It's just moving in this room, in our hearts. He's moving wherever you're listening to this at. And he is just, like, the moment we realize that, I'm sure God is just so happy. Yeah. I'm sure he's just like, finally, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're rejoice, understanding. Rejoicing. Yeah, bro. So, you know.
He's like, they're getting it.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to love you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who wants to love you that much?
Bro.
Like, who want... Charlie, shout out Charlie, bro. Who wants to love you that much? 50 years, you know what I'm saying?
God and Charlie been, be the God first been, to say, bro, that that's God working through him.
God has been loving us from the minute the idea sparked in his head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dude.
That's, yeah, bro.
And forevermore, everlasting. It's crazy. Everlasting. Yeah. And then one day, dude, we won't even need no podcast. We won't even need no Bible because we'll be up there with him. Amen. Experiencing the fullness of his love.
Right now we use, I always say this verse to my buddy. I always say Proverbs 27:17. You ever heard that one?
Spit it.
Iron sharpens iron just as man sharpens man.
Mm. Fire, bro.
Because like there's nothing else. Like, you know, the apostles and these people, they knew Jesus, right? Mm. You know, yeah. We know Jesus through the word, right? And through prayer, you know, and the Holy Spirit, right? These people actually knew him, right? So what we do now is we strengthen each other, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how Jesus was trying to say it too. You need to be with each other. You need to strengthen each other, right? As brothers, right?
You know what I heard the other day? God doesn't need our works. People do.
Amen.
Yeah, bro, I've heard you're not saved by your works, but you're saved for your works.
Mm. Yeah.
So that you can go do good
things.
That's like
exactly what I just said about how far down the scale you've gone. You can benefit others, bro. Yeah. It's so true.
I just want to challenge us, like us three, but also those listening, like work, you know what I'm saying? Like, let it be more than this. Let it be more than just a Sunday gathering, you know what I'm saying? Let it be more. Bro. Get uncomfortable for the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Have those hard talks, you know what I'm saying? And face it with courage and strength, not of yourself, but full confidence in Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And not to put the pressure on you, you know what I'm saying? But knowing that, okay, if I trust this fully with Jesus, it's going to go exactly how it's supposed to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's all,
that's our challenge for the week.
That's fire. All right, now for the good part, plugging us in. So, 79 Cent Salvation on Instagram. You know, we're really trying to get you guys to interact with us. Even if we know you, like anybody, even if you talk to Wally.
Just leave a little comment, be like, hey.
Say, hey, can you pray for me on this?
Yeah, we want to pray
for
you.
Even if you say, like, keep me anonymous. You know, if you were encouraged by something we said, or if you were, you know, maybe if you're struggling with something, you know, and you just, if you're looking for a church, like literally any reason, DM the 79 Cent Salvation Instagram. Like, that's literally what it's there for. It's not really there for us to post. You know, that's something we do just to kind of, you know, put the podcast out there when we upload, but it's really there for you guys to interact with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this has encouraged you in any way or anything like that, please, you know, show it to other people. We really, you know, we just want the gospel to be spread. That's really at the end of the day. We want to make heaven crowded. That's the goal that we want. That's what our heart posture is. You know, who cares, right, about this world? Like the real, like Joey
the
said.
The destination.
Yeah, the destination, right? Like we want more people. We want heaven to be loaded.
Yeah.
So just please share this with people.
There's plenty of room.
Yeah, plenty of room. Plenty of room.
And we want to pray with you, bro. We want to pray for you. You know, bring your requests. Like, we would love that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, if y'all want to pray, one of my best friends got a tryout with the Pittsburgh Steelers this coming week. So definitely be praying for him. Taylor Upshaw. Amen.
All right, bet.
You'll see him in that jersey soon.
Yeah.
God willing.
Yes, sir. All right. You want me to pray out?
Go for it.
All right, I'm actually going to do something different, though. We're going to go. So I'll pray for that, for Pittsburgh.
Taylor Upshaw.
He's trying for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And after that, we're just going to do the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, simple. But that is literally when where it comes from, right? Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees, and he says, this is how you should pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is the way to pray. And there's a lot of ways we pray.
No
but
lengthy
that's
words
it.
Or crafty speech.
That's it.
Right up.
That's it. So that's what, you know. Honored our God tonight by that. What's his name? Trey what?
Taylor Upshaw.
Mm. Trey's the other football player. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, God, for allowing us to come here and meet together and have the Holy Spirit carry us through. We had a beautiful message, and it was all by your grace, God, that we even got to speak like this, because we are unworthy to even speak on your name. But because of your saving grace and because of the gift of Jesus Christ, we got to tonight. So thank you. We pray for Taylor Upshaw because he has a tryout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. God, really, you know, I pray for his success there, and mainly just that he can glorify God through the gifts that he has received through God, his good ability to play. We want more Christians. Obviously everywhere, but even in the league, God, just so that you can be glorified. So we ask that, you know, you keep his fears down, and that you keep his trust fully in you, God, and you alone, and that you remember that the real gifts are in heaven, but that this is a crucial part of what he can do for the kingdom, and that he remains grateful for anything he receives if he does make it onto the Pittsburgh Steelers, that he gives all the glory to you, and that he's grateful for you for what you have given him, and that he takes no personal glory in it. So yeah, we're gonna go straight into the Lord's Prayer. So it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.